Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/StephenTheWarman, one word. Also, you are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at the blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. I upload a show to that regularly, once a week usually, sometimes twice a week. It'll be twice a week this week, but sometimes one every other week. It just kind of depends on the flow of kickboxing, but I usually at minimum get in three a month. And then also, if you're listening to my podcast in the most efficient way, you are on iTunes where it pops up LORDGAUL or Warman Kickfighting Show, and the podcast pops right up. So, gonna go ahead and jump into the kickboxing and Muay Thai action. We got two events that were big, both full rules Muay Thai, a Lion Fight and Yukao, really good stuff. I really enjoyed the fights that have been produced in the last couple weeks. Also, I want you guys to know in the middle of the week, I'm planning on having a second episode where we do a breakdown of the Glory event. I'm going to probably get some guest hosts in, but let's go ahead and make a full rules Muay Thai focus. We're going to focus on the Yukao event, and we're going to focus on Lion Fight. I'm going to go ahead and start off with the most recent. And the most recent, of course, was Friday night. And on Friday night, Lion Fight put together probably what was their most entertaining card top to bottom, with the combination of stoppages and the combination of just the fight flow. And then, of course, the star stepping up. The only thing that there might be some hesitation with is clearly Kevin Ross being one of the company guys. They probably wanted him to perform in a way that, you know, even if he lost, more people kind of drawn to it, the way that he lost to Yamato the first time. Other than that, Tiffany Von Soest showing up, performing well. Some of the Victor Servia putting on a performance, kind of making himself a one to watch moving forward. It was just a really fun card top to bottom. I'll go ahead and break down most of the fights, not all the fights, but I'll definitely say most of them. Gonna go ahead and start off the top. Tetsuya Yamada defeats Kevin Ross, TKO stoppage in the first round. I'm telling you, it's one of the most technical performances that I've seen from Yamada. I've watched him a lot. You know, of course, he fought back before Thai Fight became this, you know, weird organization. He fought, you know, there before, fought in Japan, of course, with his origins. He's fought there many times, fought Thailand. He's got some international experience. In fact, he came over to the States and fought Sanchai, you know, so he's a guy who's come over to California and come over to Los Angeles and performed before. He's going against, of course, Kevin Ross, the, you know, American hero who really puts himself out there. He has pushed his career. He's gone against some of the best in the world. He really has made a great run of it. And I'm sure once this rematch was made, technically he had his mind made up. He said that, you know, going into the fight, that he thought that Yamada was going to come out with a straight K-1 style, more boxing and kickboxing, and he was surprised by the elbows. But this time he said he felt like he was ready for everything. Tetsuya Yamada comes out of the fight and just picks at Kevin Ross and doesn't overextend at all. Doesn't get into these warlike exchanges. Doesn't look for the elbows that got him up on the cards early. He just looked to play a low kick game. And Kevin Ross played it right back with him. So both of them played, you know, trying to score quick shots. Sometimes Kevin would get the check up. Sometimes he wouldn't. But Yamada was doing a good job of just keeping the pace. I mean, I really thought that Tetsuya didn't overextend, didn't look for anything until he had to. He just stayed patient. And then at a period of time in the fight, Kevin Ross landed a body kick. Tetsuya remained poised, and he landed a switch kick. And the moment the kick scored, I thought that was a pretty good kick. And then he returned with a single hook to the body. And Kevin Ross took a step backwards after that. And I was like, that's a significant shot. You know, just that happens in a fight. Yamada moved close to the distance to push the pace. He then goes switch kick to the body, left hook to the body, and then when it looks like he's going to return to the same spot three times in a row, he throws what looks to be the equivalent of like a check hook or a leap hook with his elbow, and it just scores clean above, right in the temple of Kevin Ross. Kevin Ross, you know, legs were wobbly right away. He was in bad shape. Tetsuya jumped in for the kill, scored a couple shots, but the ref kept it from going on. So then Tetsuya went to hang out, and I'm looking at the clock, and I go, he has got a little bit of time. At least he'll be able to, at minimum, he'll be able to score another down. He goes over to close the show against Kevin Ross, and he threw a barrage of punches, but more than anything, elbows. And not only did the elbows cause for a standing eight, the moment Kevin Ross looked up and the ref saw that huge cut in his head, he called the fight off. It was one of the better first-round tactical fighting examples that I've ever seen, because Tetsuya, He didn't overextend himself. He didn't feel the need that they had to be in this war like they were the last time. He felt, my game plan is I'm just going to play distance, 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 and I'm not moving in until the opportunity presents itself. The body shots gave him the opportunity to move it in. The most significant strike he threw at Kevin Ross's head, the first significant strike he threw, was the hook elbow. That was the first most, you know, first really significant shot he threw at Kevin Ross. Kevin Ross, it's one of those fights where, you know, you game plan for it, you train for it, you prepare to the best of your ability, you know you're going to go out there and perform well. Just you cannot predict what happens when you get hurt in this sport. You can predict things that hurt you in a sport, but you can't do anything when you are discombobulated, when something wobbles you, when something attacks your equilibrium, when something threatens that. Those are the things that you have to overcome just on your body as opposed to on your will. You know what I'm saying? Something in his head has got to clear. Something in his body's got to recover from a body shot. Like, that's just the nature of the fight sport. It's something that you can't dictate. There are guys out there that have got super chins. There are people who've been hurt with low kicks and have been able to push through it or whatever. But that's will pushing the body. The thing that you can't do is you cannot will your brain to just focus in after being rocked. It's got to do it in its own time. Kevin didn't have that opportunity, and Tetsuya Yamada didn't let him have that opportunity. He jumped in him right away, scored the elbows, got a big time win for him. He is your new Lion Fight champion, lightweight. I'm excited to see what they do with him moving forward, because in the situation with Kaylee Reese, we wonder, are you going to give opportunities for these elite athletes? Are you going to let them come in and compete, and are you going to let them come in and defend their titles so that the audience that saw them, won them, can follow them? Or are you going to just kind of let them, wait it out, fade away, and then, rematch, the stars that you do have under your banner and give them that opportunity? Urina Bears is a case where it appears that they're going to let their stars come out and be stars. They're doing a good job of filling their undercards with amateur fights from locals, and that lets them get that local draw. They had a pretty solid crowd for this event. Christina Toledo, who is the vice president, I want to say matchmaker, she's been in Muay Thai for a really long time, and she was so excited about this event and how the card came together and so on, and the performance put on and by the athletes. I think that she might feel confident or comfortable bringing Yamada back to fight again for the promotion, even if he's not going against Kevin Ross. I think that he's the elite level, he represents elite level skill set, and he can, even if he's not the most talented guy in the world at that weight class, because if Kevin Ross had won this, one of the first names that I would have recommended is, since we're starting to get guys, stadium guys like Petbuchu and Pecorn go out, fight an international opportunity, I would have been like, let's do Pecorn and Kevin Ross. Now I think we can do Pecorn and Yamada, or Yamato, and I wouldn't mind them fighting, and then Kevin Ross fights, like a tune-up fight or a between fight, and then he gets the winner of that fight. So then you can just do Kevin Ross later in the year. You can have him go back for the title against elite-level guy. But really good performance. Tetsuya moves forward. He'll probably go back to Japan to keep himself, consistently fighting there. It's big time news for him to come over, come across the ocean and get that win. And Kevin Ross, of course, he's all heart. He'll be back in there stronger than ever. Just going to have to get some time to heal from the cut, and they'll probably get him on a card in, July or late June. Tiffany Von Seuss gets a victory over Chaima Belakal. The thing with Chaima that everyone should know is and if you see the fight, you would have known it. She lacks in the athleticism department, and she doesn't necessarily throw with pop. But what she is really strong in terms of really tough, I should say. And she'll just keep pushing forward, and she'll keep throwing back. Tiffany Von Seuss, polar opposite. Very athletic. She's got some good pop to her. Sneaky with her high kicks. The footwork, the angles. I thought that because of Shima's style, that the fight was a little ugly early. Tiffany Von Seuss was still able to land her single shots, able to land, her single low kicks, spinning elbows. Like, that's, she's able to score that quite regularly. I thought that she was able to get into her flow. But then something happened in the third round. I want to say late in the second round, that changed the complexity of the fight for Chaima. Chaima, who was doing some mean holding tactics all fight, was warned by the ref that he was going to disqualify her if she didn't stop the holding, or if she didn't stop striking after he said stop. Chaima then stopped, and Tiffany Von Seuss didn't stop. Like, the moment those exchanges and those gritty moments happened, Chima stopped when she heard the ref, and Tiffany Von Seuss would just keep going. And I could see that Chima was, you know, upset by it, because it seemed like, you know, you come across the half the world, and you're hoping for at least a fair opportunity. The ref gives you a big warning, and he didn't warn Tiffany the same. To this, now again, this is not me making an argument for Chima over Tiffany. I'm just saying I could see how Chima could have difficulty being in some of those clinch positions where she's holding on, maybe catching the break, maybe looking for knees or whatever. And then where Tiffany is still pushing the action, still pushing the pace, still able to throw on those opportunities, Chima is now, you know, standoffish. It'd be like if you got an eye poke on somebody and they said, I'm going to take a point the next time, and then you just completely shut down. Or I had a fighter in a Muay Thai fight score a groin shot on a guy early, and then right away the ref said, if you do that again, I'm going to disqualify you. And it completely changed how he fought the guy. You know, it changes everything. I'm saying there's an opportunity, or there's a chance that affected Chima and her performance down the stretch. In particular, a moment in the fourth round where Chima, they were in the clinch, and the ref, you know, it looked like he may have said break. I couldn't get it on the replay. I couldn't make it out. And Chima stopped, and Tiffany Von Seuss didn't stop. So she kept throwing strikes, and she threw an elbow, and Chima just looked at the ref like, why aren't you doing anything? And Tiffany came over and continued to throw strikes, so then Chima had to fight back. It shows how tough her chin is, because she just took four or five clean shots, one of them being an elbow that shot her mouthpiece out into the audience, and she just looked at the ref like, why aren't you? You're the one who said that we had to stop. Why aren't you letting us stop? When I look at it from a distance, the ref definitely didn't come in, and he didn't touch them, and he didn't say, as far as a formal, my hands are on you guys, stop doing the action. He didn't do that. If he said it, he must have said it verbally. But Chima seemed like she was stopping. But Tiffany Von Seuss did what she was supposed to do. No action was called. She didn't hear anything from the ref. No hand touched her. She kept fighting. And she was able to score that, you know, that elbow, that shot the mouthpiece out into the audience. And then she was able to finish out that round. Chima looked so... I just think she felt, not necessarily that Tiffany's skill was just the thing that got to her, but I think that the combination of the audience and the ref maybe made her feel like she was just out of it. And Jemima Betrayne was in the corner just trying to get her going. They're speaking Dutch, so you don't know exactly what they're saying. But pretty much she's just trying to say, hey, go back out there, trying to get her going, trying to get her pumped up to go. Because I can understand if Chima felt that way, not wanting to answer the bell. Because it did. If you felt like the ref truly did say stop the fight, and you felt you were cheated in that moment, I can understand there being some reservations about you wanting to go back out there and perform. It makes sense to me that she would have difficulty with that. With that said, she still went out there. Tiffany Von Seuss, who had her best series of offense in the fight at the end of the fourth round, put on a show in the fifth round. She landed everything. High kick had scored several times. She looked for a lot of elbows. She scored several Muay Thai dumps. It was just like, I'm bringing the fight to you now. Enough of those dirty tactics. Enough of those holding. Because Chima did bring up whatever Chima may feel about how the ref, you know, judged the fight and critiqued her and broke her in the corner. She brought on a lot of that by her early work in round one and two. She maybe earned the ref's eye more than she probably deserved. But definitely by the end of the fight, Tiffany was done with it all. She just came full force, threw Chima on the ground three or four times, definitely scored a lot with the kicks, a lot with the elbows and close, tried several spinning techniques. Tiffany Von Seuss put on a show. When it was all done, the crowd stood up because she that's what you want from your stars. Plus, she's from California. Wasn't too difficult for her audience to come out and support her. That's what you want from your star. The only thing that we need from Tiffany Von Seuss moving forward is we got to lift her competition up. Chima, of the fighters in Dutch, I could literally name 20 girls that I would pick to come over and fight Tiffany Von Seuss ahead of Chima. Chima is, she's gritty and she's going to try and she's got effort, but she just doesn't have the athleticism to keep up with Tiffany Von Seuss. In fact, Jemima Betrayne, who is in the corner, and she's doing both, you know, MMA and kickboxing right now, it wouldn't be a bad idea for them to consider using Jemima Betrayne or see if they could do that rematch. The first fight, for those that don't know, it was a, you know, draw. And what happened in the fight was Betrayne won the majority of the striking. Like, she scored a lot because she's going to throw more. She's got the power shot. She's going to walk Tiffany Von Seuss down. But in two of the rounds, Tiffany Von Seuss scored a spinning back fist that scored a flash down. And that could have given her a 10-8 round, but it just kind of depends on how people feel about the round, because most people felt Betrayne controlled the action throughout the whole fight. And then Betrayne got point taken from her for hitting in the back of the head. And I know some people were thinking those are automatically two 10-8 rounds. That is not true. You can still have an even round for hitting somebody in the back of the head if they feel you still won the round. In fact, the more accurate scoring is not to assume that someone won the round just because a point was taken against them. So in that fight, that is a very difficult fight because you've got someone who matches Tiffany Von Soest in athleticism. And that's what I want to see. I want to see Tiffany go against those athletes. I love the Denise Kjellholz fight because they were equal in athleticism. And Tiffany had found her pacing a little bit there in the third and in the fourth. And the spinning back fist that landed was the difference in that fight. But Von Soest was right there. So maybe they do Denise Kjellholz. That's another opportunity. Do that rematch since Kayla Reese is retired. Sam Nanu Brown from Australia is my pick number one. Like, I think just styles-wise, and the fact that she's Aussie, and, you know, Tiffany lost to an Aussie, I think that that is the fight that I would make the most because of the hands and the determination and the strength that you're going to see coming from Sam Brown, and the skill and the movement, and the pop that Tiffany Von Soest has. That's the fight that I think I would make. And as much as I'm, Iman Barlow is my daughter, I would definitely love if they used Iman Barlow. But I think before they did Barlow, they should bring Barlow over to the States and have her be in a undercard fight so that people can see these girls. Like, that's what I think Night Fight could use moving forward. If you're going to have somebody fight for the title, just have two contenders fight, you know, on the card earlier in the card so that people can get introduced to them. And then the winner goes against Tiffany Von Soest, for the title. Or the winner goes against Kevin Ross or Yamato for the title. Like, I think you should set it up as so. You know, Yolton Klein, another person that we're going to probably see a couple times this year. I think that they should do a little bit. Invest a little bit into getting another fight where you can say, okay, this is the person that's going to fight for the title. I'm excited about it. But other than that, Tiffany Von Soest did her thing. And it's more than just her offensive skill set. It's the fact that she's out in the audience. It's the way she words the microphone. It's the way that she calls for her titles back. She's that it factor, you know. And on Instagram, Twitter, the following of the fight and the next day, people are posting that their screensavers are now Tiffany Von Soest and that kind of stuff, whatever. It's the kind of performance that wins people over. So things are going high for her. I really want them to bring in the right kind of opposition so people can see that she is the elite of the elite in the women's division, especially around 56 kgs. Malapet Sasaprapo gets a victory over Benyelli. Here's the thing. Malapet, who took this fight, not short notice. He said that he didn't start training this fight till 7 days out because he was that confident that he was so much better than Benyelli. I was cracking the joke on Twitter, but because everybody knows that Malapet is, you know, he's going to drink and womanize and fool around until it's up to him to go out there and perform for 1 week. The way to beat Malapet is to don't worry about rounds one and two, but to win rounds 3, 4, and 5 because he's always going to slow because he's not taking care of his body the way he did when he was a full-time fighter. Like, that's got to be the way to beat Sasaprapo. Like, that's got to be your goal. And Ben came out, and it's, you know, it was pretty clear from his corner that's what they wanted to do. Malapet was styling on him early, was able to score, you know, the flash kicks, was able to score his hands and move and play the game of being a tie for 2 rounds. And then the third round, you could see that he, and towards the end of the second, you could see Malapet had completely slowed down, and that was the time for Benyelli to jump on it. But Malapet did something the third round that pretty much saved him for the whole fight. He was able to score three kick catch sweeps. So he caught the kick, scored the sweep afterwards, and those moments of fight dictation in the round made Ben get up slow, and he wasn't pursuing with as much gusto because he's worried about the kick getting caught, and all of a sudden he gave up a round that was supposed to be the turnaround for him. Round 4, he did a little bit better, but still, Malapet was able to score clean, and he was able to avoid getting hit as much. The round 5 by Benyelli was the round that he needed to start with in round 3. He was definitely score a kick, and then he'd throw a handful or in, Malapet would just hold on, and he just kept doing it over and over and over, and next thing you know, he had clearly won round 5, but he'd lost the other 4 rounds. Malapet won the round, and, I joke about it, but I'm just saying, this guy, it's just, he is a star over there. I saw an Instagram pic where they just showed the audience when it came out, and it just showed all these, you know, girls who, you know, Filipino and Thai and so on, kind of cheering as he went out there, whatever. He plays the game, you know what I'm saying? Like he goes out there, puts on a performance, and then he lives in a way that not every fighter should be living, you know. But not if you're at the top, but if you've been fighting, you know, high level Muay Thai for a while, drinking away some of the pain, isn't a surprise. But I thought that he did what he had to do here. But his fight on this card, to me, and anytime Malapat's on cards, if he doesn't win by KO early, his fights are usually the fights that I don't want to see as much because of how he slows in the third, fourth, and fifth. I want to see guys who bring the action, like what you're going to see in the next fight that I talked about. Victor Saravia made himself a star in his fight with Sam Poulton. I can't tell you enough that Victor, it wasn't just that he scored clean, mean low kicks that had Sam hurt, his hand combinations, the power that he threw with, his grip, the back and forth. But the thing that made this fight wasn't just the fact that Saravia was so offensively effective. Young guy, 21 years old, they said he's 3-0. He's going to have to fight as much as he can. He can't just rely on line fight to push him. He's got to fight. Anything that he can do, he should do. If he can go over to Thailand and get some fights, he should get fights. Start developing your craft because you've got the athleticism. The thing that made this fight special wasn't what he brought to the fight. Well, the thing that made the fight special was Sam Poulton's ability to take what Saravia was throwing at him. Because every time something landed on him, Sam just kept pushing forward. Kept throwing hands, kept looking for his single kicks, kept looking for his combination flow, kept pushing the pace. It just seemed like, all right, Saravia would land some shot, some big low kick. And I'm like, that looks like it's going to be the one that slows Sam down. But Sam hasn't showed any signs of slowing down yet. And Sam just kept pushing, kept pursuing, kept getting right in his face, kept looking to be in the fight no matter what. And they put on just an absolute show. I literally posted on Twitter, thank you, Victor Saravia. Thank you, Sam Poulton, for the fight you just put on. It's just an amazing show. They really did a fantastic job. And again, they're not world beaters. They're, you know, Sam is a guy from, you know, Washington who took this opportunity. Victor Saravia is a guy who they want to promote and prep to be a star down the road. These guys are not superstars. They are not. But they're working towards putting on good high-level kickboxing fights and Muay Thai opportunities with these kind of performances. And they're going to perform to the best of their ability because they love the sport of Muay Thai. And this is an opportunity for them to do it on a public stage. So great job by both guys. Victor Saravia, the thing is you just got to get fights. That's the thing. Josh Shepard gets a victory over Jose Lopez. I really like the fact that he took the fight where he knew he had to. You know, Jose Lopez was a boxing background. Josh closed the distance immediately, got into the clinch. I like how he played it more like the way if you were to see a Thai teacher train it, with the one hand playing in the around the collarbone, your extended hand, and the other hand fighting the arm. He did a good job of playing that distance and choosing his spots for his knees. And the knee that landed in the liver that dropped Jose Lopez was absolutely perfect. Josh Shepard moves to, I want to say it's 4-1 now. He's going to need more fights too. Any opportunity you get to compete, you got to go. And hopefully, you know, promotions will pop up in Vegas that's got a lot of gyms, a lot of fight opportunities. Hopefully they'll get these guys more opportunities to compete. I'll go ahead and finish with one more. Nick Chastain did a victory over Tony Fausto. And Tony Fausto, of course, was making his debut. Tony Fausto was able to score offense. He just didn't block anything. And Nick Chastain did a good job of building an offense, slowing the guy down, with Tony down with the low kicks, scoring with his hands, decent flurries, and then the stoppage came. I mean, he threw the towel maybe even a little bit too late because Fausto was so disarmed because he couldn't move anymore because of the low kicks. So he's just standing there just taking shots. Nick Chastain did a good job of scoring and getting him out of there, and he is now 4-1 and looking for further competition. It's interesting because Jess Chauncey, who fights in Glory, was definitely interested in competing with Nick Chastain, and he was like calling out on Twitter after he watched the fight. So we had the same amount of fights, whatever. For whatever reason, he really wants to fight Nick. I'd love to see them do that, but I can't imagine that they're going to do that because Jay Chauncey is like one of the best fighters, you know, in the I'd say in North America. I think he's the kind of star that you want to look for moving forward. I think that he's going to continue to fight elite-level guys. And in the way that Joseph Altolini's got to do it with just a few fights, he's got to do it just a few fights because we don't have the opportunity to compete as much as those guys do over there. So we're going to go ahead and go to England, where Yukao 12 and 13 took place. More high-level Muay Thai action. Pakorn Sanchai Muay Thai Gym defeats Liam Harrison by unanimous decision. And I went ahead and chose the upset in this one. I was like, you know what? Liam's going to finally get this one. I would say Liam's best victory is the win over Anuwat. I think because of Anuwat's history, I've said it on the show a billion times that Anuwat and Bovi are the most beatable Thais because their style very much matches up with what you would see from another Westerner. Like, they play with combinations with their hands and they bite down and they walk forward. So those guys historically will always be fighters that you're like, okay, these guys can be beat. You know, there are guys who, if you play a game similar to, you know, using your hands a lot more as opposed to being savvy, using your combination kicks, if you play a game that the Westerners are used to, they can get you. If you play the game like a Thai, like high level Thai, where you play with teeps and kicks and timing and defense and movement and subtlety, that's the game that Westerners have trouble with. I thought that Liam Harrison, who sometimes can start slow based on who he's going against and then he picks it up a little bit later, I thought that this is the fight that Harrison was going to get a good start up corn, and he was going to really push the pace early, and he was going to make the fight something that he would be able to get a victory from. And it wasn't the case, but Corn was able to do what he always does. He was able to make it a game that the Thais play. And he did a good job keeping his distance, playing the game. He neutralizes in the clinch because he's seen everything in the clinch. You're not going to be able to get no full clinch in him and start dominating him unless your name's, you know, Pech Bunchu. But if you're some Westerner, you got to win a kickboxing match with the Thais. And McCorn did a good job of proving once again why he is the Kao champion at 65 kgs and why he's such a special athlete, because he could be back fighting in a major stadium, you know, event any month he wants. He's getting the opportunity to go against international competition, and that way the world will know how good these guys are, because they don't. Like, you could be the best stadium fighter in the world, and most people don't know who, you know, Superbank is, and they don't know who some of the elite Thais are because they're only going against other Thais. How is that going to relate to you? You have to search for that information for you to know it. Whereas if those guys come and they fight in your country and they fight your best guy, or they fight an international event that you're paying attention to, all of a sudden you're saying, this is the separation between an elite level Thai and an elite level Westerner. So glad this fight took place. Liam Harrison, of course, I want him to, you know, continue to compete. Liam Harrison and Kevin Ross is a fight that's absolutely has to happen at some period of time on Line Fight or Yukao. Like, it's a fight you got to make happen. It's just awesome, and I'm really looking forward to those guys one day getting together. Pakorn, he could fight anybody. Like I said, I also like the idea of Line Fight possibly bringing him over. I like the idea of him continuing to fight Yukao, continue to fight on Top King Muay Thai. Anything that gets his name out there on an international scene, just like when I was talking to Rob Cox, it's so cool when the world gets to see how good these guys are. Good job, Apcorn. Next fight in this card I'm going to talk about is the return of Benice Aldis as she gets a unanimous decision over Tanya Merritt. Tanya Merritt, tough, gritty, always going to push the pace, always going to move forward. She took some shots and gave some shots against Lucy Payne. She just wasn't able to score enough consistently to get up, you know, get past the clinch, to get up enough on the scorecards. Benice Aldis, who is, I say this all the time, I said it in the last show, and they kind of do a good job in the Yukao breakdown of the fights. She is a prodigy. What I mean by that is, we're talking about a girl who was already fighting high-level international competition when she was 16 years old. And she was, you know, she was saying her story in the Yukao thing. She said basically that she wanted to box, and she went to a boxing gym, and they didn't accept guys or girls, so just all guys gym. So then she wanted to do something with combat because she felt like she wanted to get out aggression or whatever. And Kieran Kittle, she had saw something in the paper about him that he'd won a world title. So then she searched for his gym online, and she found it, and that's how she got introduced to the sport. And that was when she was 13, 14 years old. At 16 years old, she's already going against, you know, undefeated and going against high-level opposition. She's gone to Thailand, I want to say 6-7 times. Like she's I think she went every year for like, you know, 6-7 years in a row. She is, and she's competing when she does those opportunities. You watch her hit the pads, as technical as you're going to see, like the way she turns the hips over, the way the leg whips, her footwork, like you're is as technical as you're going to see. And I knew when this fight was made that this is a good return fight for her. And after this fight, Bernice Aldis is good to go against anybody. I'd love to see her fight, as I mentioned before, Tiffy Von Su, she's close enough to that weight class. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see her fight Denise Kielholtz. I would love to see her fight Yona Wymans. I think she could fight anybody in the world around that 57 kgs, you know, weight class. So I'd love to see her compete. Like, she's very technical, very skilled. I want to see more from her moving down the road. But you got to see her. I mean, just watch the Lilia Cao video on her. It's just her technique is as smooth as it gets. There were other fights. Steve Long got a victory over John Kaufman. Josh Turbill got a victory over Jack Cooper. Chris Weidel got a victory over Ross George. And Wojciech Alsik gets a victory over Dale Hughes to round out the Yakao 13 portion of it. Yakao 12 had what would can be considered, in some people's opinion, the upset of the weekend. Sonny Dalback got the victory over Jordan Watson. I had Jordan Watson winning that fight. I thought that Jordan Watson really a lot smoother with his full rules Muay Thai flow. I liked him in the clinch better, you know, going into this fight. And the thing for him is it looked like he did a good job of scoring consistently with his right leg. In particular, it looked like he had Sonny Dalback hurt with the low kicks. And this fight was a fight that it got in pieces. I wasn't able to sit down and get through the whole fight, but I just kept getting a lot of it over small portions through video. And it looked like Watson was doing a good job of scoring, just Sonny Dalback so clean with the power and was able to score significant. And then all of a sudden in the second round, he puts together a series and he hides a knee in there and Jordan Watson goes down and he is not able to beat the count. He gets himself up, but the knee to the body was enough to get Sonny Dalback the upset victory, if you will. Sonny Dalback, I've said it before, he needs to be fighting the elite. If they do an 8-man tournament for glory later this year, I want to see him against the Petrosians. I want to see him against the Andy Ristis. I want to see him against the elite in the world. Jordan Watson, put him in that category too. Despite the fact that he got stopped here, he's still a young guy. I think he's in his mid-20s, 24, 25, plenty of time. I want to see these guys continue to fight. Dalback, who relocated to Thailand, who's been fighting a lot on some of the smaller stadiums, but still getting the opportunity to grow his craft, but the biggest thing is increase his fight number. And that's why everybody needs to go to Thailand at some period of time in your career. Give yourself 2-3 months if you can. But the biggest thing is you want to go there and you want to develop your fight craft. Like you want to go down there and get the fights so that you can find your identity. If you're in a place like England, maybe you go to Thailand a little bit shorter. You can go longer. But in England, you can find fights because there's so many promoters that do shows. I remember when I went to K-Star Gym, the promoter said that I put on about 3 or 4 shows a year. And it's basically just to make sure that my guys get fights. And he gave me, you know, a breakdown of how they do the rules and so on. But he does that many shows. And, in, you know, the country's small and there's so many gyms that, you know, like in Holland, you can get to one side of the country to the other with not that much, you know, with, I mean, it could be a long drive, but it's not like going from Los Angeles to New York in the States. So the opportunity for a lot of you guys, if you're in a country where you can get the fights, do it. You know what I'm saying? Stay where you are, develop it, fight as much as you can, and then go to Thailand here and there for some opposition to play with your technique to make sure that you're sharp. But really, it's going to come down to how well do you compete on a regular basis against the elite. That is going to be a reflection of how much you fought before you got there. Sonny Dalback's put him in a position where he's like, you know what, these guys got more experience than me in the high level of glory. I'm going to make sure that I'm fighting in Thailand as well as international opportunities. Dalback's off to a really good year. Went over Watson, went over Yoshihiro Sato. Both of those wins, I can't remember, and he stopped Sato in the extra round. So he's off to, you know, getting a year started well to kind of get his hand raised as a possibility for Fighter of the Year when we get down to it. But that's going to, of course, depend on what happens when he meets Andy Ristie, what happens when he meets a Robin Van Roosmalen. Those opportunities have got to come from him. So he's doing a good job being active, good job of competing, big-time win for him. I picked Kareem Benui to beat Darren O'Connor, and he was able to do that with a majority decision. The thing with Kareem Benui, I just think that he is more skilled and versed in fighting full rules Muay Thai. Like, I just think that he has so many international opportunities, not to mention the shows that they do in France, him, the Liam boys at, with Nasser Kassim. I expect him to be the better guy here. Darren O'Connor is a good step-up fight. Good fight for him to test the skill set, get that left leg going, to see what some of the more elite international guys do. And I think this is a good fight for him. I think that it's just Kareem Benui just a step above. And, of course, majority decision means that it was close, you know, means that it's close. You know, a draw, then two in favor of Kareem Benui, if I remember correctly. But, like, man, this is the kind of win that Kareem needed. Now, of course, he's going to continue to, like all the other Nasser Kassim guys, look for international opportunities to fight at a high level. And I wouldn't be surprised to see if he ended up in line fighting one of the guys, because Nasser Kassim's boys fight international so much. So good stuff there. Last fight I'm going to talk about is Stefan Melidi. So he gets a victory over Chris Shaw. Chris Shaw, who I feel has got good kickboxing base. I think he's going to be a solid kickboxer. And I really think that some of the promotions in Japan should consider bringing him over. The difficulty with Shaw is some of the full rules Muay Thai guys, like Stefan Melidi, who comes from Bad Company Gym. I worry about Shaw in the clinch, and I definitely worry about him anytime somebody plays the Thai game. Does he slow down and play that game with him? But I thought that Shaw was going to be able to win this one. I thought that his kickboxing was going to be the difference. It was not. Stefan Melidi was able to dictate his full rules Muay Thai style better, did a good job of, you know, playing the game, did a good job of scoring the most points, and definitely deserved the victory here. And it was much needed because, and I'm going to have to bring Vinny Shorman on for this, because the two gyms in the world that I think get the most flack for whatever reason, there's a huge communities of people that are against these gyms or have problems with these gyms or whatever, for whatever reason, whether it's jealousy, whether it's genuine, who knows. All I know is Bad Company in England and Nasser Kassim's gym in Lyon has got communities of people who hate their gyms. And maybe it's because they've got, you know, good relationships with promoters, they get international opportunities. I'm not sure what it is, but I am going to talk to some people about it. But those gyms, they got haters. People are hating on them, you know, and some of it is there might be some earnest experiences out there, and there might be some people that are just, I'm glad you lost. But Stefan Melidi did a good job, was able to get a victory for Bad Company on a night where it was a little bit tougher for Bad Company to get the elite level victories, despite the fact that they put on good performances. Go ahead and round off the rest of this card. Kyle Huler gets a victory over Danny Harrison Little with the TKO in the third round. We got Mike Estlick gets a victory over Jack McGuire via unanimous decision. Chris Edis gets a victory over Jack Burton, KO with the elbow in the fourth round. Juan Cervantes gets a victory over Joe Newton and unanimous decision. And Jack Kennedy gets a victory over Harry Burton to round off the rest of the Yucao card. So definitely for Yucao, it's just, they're doing a good job of bringing back McCorn and so on, but you're going to have to figure out who you're going to, you know, give the next opportunity against him, because you've only got so much wealth at 65 kgs. Definitely want to see more opposition. It wouldn't be bad for Yucao to consider bringing in some bigger guys, because I think 77 kgs was the biggest fight that they had on it. If you're going to use a guy like Cervantes, maybe you consider bringing in Michael Wakeling to go against him. They've probably, you know, they may have met already before. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I want to get some opportunities for guys who are a little bit bigger in their promotion. Other than that, I thought they did a really good job. I thought the show was solid from what I've seen. I wasn't able to get the whole event. Yucao usually a little bit slower about getting their fights online, but thanks to people's, you know, cell phone videos and things that popped up on my Facebook wall, I was able to get bits and pieces of a lot of the fights, just enough to break it down. So thank you guys again for listening to the show. I will be back in 4 days, 3 days, depending upon when you get this. And I'm going to try to get my usual cast of guys on, Dave Walsh. Let Dave Walsh come in and talk about his book, you know, before he does the breakdown with me. And then, of course, Patrick Kleinman. I'm going to try to get both of those gentlemen in. And then we will do a breakdown of the Glory event on Friday. So thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening, following me, and supporting kickboxing. I really, really appreciate it. So peace, everyone, and have a good one.